It's my first time standing here this year, I think. So the first thing I should start with is Happy New Year. And a question. How's it going? How has 2022 started for you? John's saying, don't ask. There's probably a few people who are not here who also don't want us to ask them because they're struggling with different things already in 2022. I've had some of my own challenges. So when somebody comes along and asks you the question and says, how are you? And you say, fine, you'll probably struggle to see all the words in the way fine is written behind me. But it actually says confused, betrayed, useless, broken, never good enough, fragile, anxious, I'm falling apart and you don't realize it. Rejected, lonely, defeated, pathetic, and annoying. I'm pleased to say that most of the time when I come here and I look around, I see faces that encourage me. But there are times when we look around and we don't see the faces that have always encouraged us. And that just adds to the bad start that we might be feeling because we think those people have gone away. It's a nice jolly start to a message, isn't it? So, how are you feeling? Let's go the whole way. The clouds are above us, the rain is falling, and you feel pinned to the floor and pretty low. Actually, to feel low isn't unbiblical. It's a book that's full of people who hit low points and really despair and don't know where to go next. Romans is a book full of nice heavy theology for all those thinking people, and it goes through where you're at in that nice reasoned way. But if you get to the end of chapter 7 in Romans, it says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Utterly discouraged and overwhelmed with their own weakness. And then they try and take the big picture and it only looks worse. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So, the table talk question, which given the note that we've hit so far, you'll be glad not to have had in advance, says, what's the time when you felt the weakest and most adequate? And some of you were ready to write your own sermon length answer to that, probably. But sometimes it's quite simple. If I was honest with you, one of my literal weakest moments was when I first went out to Pakistan. And I ate a whole bunch of wonderful tasting, well, a little bit of confectionery from a stall in the market that was brilliant. And I loved it so much, I went back and bought a big bag of it and scoffed the lot. And I had the worst diarrhea I've ever had after that.
Doesn't count that.
So. Found out soon afterwards that any of those kind of products, you can enjoy a little bit, but they'll always give you stomach problems if you eat a whole load of it. And it just kept coming. And I got so weak that I got to the point where I was in a sleeping bag in a kind of a dormitory place where we were. And I knew I was in trouble and needed to get to the loo. And I couldn't even move to get myself to the loo. And I actually had to be arm around two people who sort of arm locked me with my arm around their shoulders and dragged to the toilet. And I think the only reason they did that was they wanted me to get to the toilet. That was my literal weak point. But it was not my only weak point. I've had other times when things have fallen apart in my life, and other times when you look for the faces that you know encourage you and they're not there. And that leaves us feeling weak. So, with all of that in mind, it's time to read our verses for this week. And our verses are in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to... I've actually sneaked into verse 20. I didn't realize till the end.
Okay.
So we're going to read out verses 14 through to 20. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length. We've already had the preview of this bit. What is the breadth and the length and the and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Those verses in most Bibles are headed up a prayer for strength. A prayer for strength. So, we've started this already, but imagine, maybe there's people here who have to think very hard to do this, and imagine that you're struggling with life. You're struggling with life, but you feel moved to pray. And then, as you are struggling to find the words as you pray, you suddenly hear John or Alan in the background behind your prayer. What would that look like? Here's one suggestion.
Joel Carpenter is a new Christian, so to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, he who's created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at his command. I beseech you, take this woman that you've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask you now, in this area of employment, thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be your will, that would bring you glory.
My kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that you would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with you, Lord, bowing before you, giving you all that you deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
God go. Real people, real prayers.
I wonder what will happen when you get home and think you're struggling and are ready to pray next, but the words aren't quite coming. Abraham Lincoln, pretty famous person, pretty powerful person, President of the United States, way back. He wrote down this. He says, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Let me read it one more time. I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. We've been going through Ephesians and Galatians before that. Pretty powerful, excited theology. Gospel, telling us what God has done for us. And all the time, how our lives have been turned around and how we can live in the experience of knowing God with our lives turned around and in the power of God working through us. And that would set us up to feel like pretty successful Christians if we only got what all those verses are talking about. But that's not where a lot of us live. It's there. God's done it for us. He's told us about it. He's shown his love to us. But we live in a place where we struggle. So when I looked at these verses that says a prayer for strength, I thought I can go through and we will look at it, the deeper bits of the theology of each bit of the prayer and how it's been crafted well and how the words could sound like the super pastor's words in that prayer. Or I could say maybe this is a different kind of prayer. It's a prayer that you say because you're feeling weak and you somehow need God to get you past that point where you're feeling your weakest and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're not seeing those faces that encourage you. And that's the time when you need a prayer for strength. So successful Christians might not need this prayer. So who are the Christians that we're looking at here in Ephesians? Well, these are people that Paul had nurtured in the faith. Paul thinks of them as his children. And that made me think, here is Paul writing to them, trying to encourage them as they face struggles. And maybe he would be desperate to run in and rescue them at this time. Maybe Paul the apostle would want to be a helicopter parent, to put it in modern day language. What is a helicopter parent in our present terms? Well, a helicopter parent is a term for a person who pays extremely close attention to his or her children, particularly at educational institutions. They are so... Hang on a moment. I'm feeling my weakness. Right, a helicopter person is a parent, a term for a person who pays extremely close attention to his or her children, particularly at educational institutions. They are so named because, like a helicopter, they hover closely, rarely out of reach of their children, need them or not. And actually, I read before I pulled the slide up a different definition, but they are ready to whisk in and to save their children from the adversity that they are facing. To rescue them. I think Paul could have felt like that at this moment. He had told his children, the Ephesians, all the truth of the gospel, everything that God has done for them, how they can know that God, how they can live in the power of that God. And then when they face trouble, he could have been very tempted to just helicopter in and rescue them from facing that trouble. Only one problem. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? In prison. Kind of restricted him from running in to rescue them at this time. So he had to find a different way of encouraging them. And Ephesians was written to do that. And this prayer was written to do that. Paul, the parent, could see his children of faith facing adversity and challenges, perhaps ready to hit a low, and he couldn't rescue them himself. So he had to give them a prayer that could help them at this time. So how does this prayer go? Well, Ephesians 3 verse 14 starts off with, I would say, God in us. It's what Paul's talked about. It's what Paul has waxed lyrical about. And what's true for Paul is true for us too. Everything that Paul had experienced and spoken about in the letter about how we can know God, how the gospel is salvation, not through what we've done, not through our achievements, not about why we feel good about ourselves. The gospel is we messed up, but God loved us. He loved us because he created us. He loved us because he wanted to be in in his love for us, he wants to be in relationship with us. And to make that possible, he had made salvation through the cross. Not as what we do, but what he had done for us. The gospel is God in us. And that's there in verse 14, the first thing we remember in this prayer. It goes through verse 15 that we are connected to God. We are his family. We are heirs. His spirit is in us, verse 16. And Christ is dwelling in us, verse 17. Where does our prayer start? It starts with recognizing that through the gospel, God is in us. We're in relationship with him. He values us. His Spirit is in us. Christ is in us. That's the starting point, the reminder that we need to start with when we're feeling discouraged. One time, many centuries ago, when I was 17 years old, I came to a point when I thought I had reasons to be discouraged. I think I might have even mentioned it to you once before. So many reasons that I thought, I'll tell everybody why I have a right to be discouraged. I'll make a list. And I did. And I seem to remember I had over 30 things on my list that I had as reasons to feel discouraged. And then I thought, well, good, reasonable, logical person, I'd better think about whether there's something to write on the other side about why I shouldn't be discouraged. And I came across Romans 8:31, I think it is, which says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe I don't need to think of 30 more things to put on that list. However long our list is of reasons to feel discouraged, if God is for us, if God is in us, to use the words that we've got here, why should we be afraid? Feeling weak? Start your prayer with recognizing that God is in us. Second thing I want us to think about is that we are rooted. And I wondered what words to put immediately after that, and I'll expand a couple of points. But just think about it. We are rooted. When we think of roots, the first thing most of us think of, as an example, are trees. And we've had a couple of storms even this year already. And some trees stood the storm and some didn't. What makes the difference? It's the roots. God is in us. We are rooted. Psalms, I think Psalm 2 it is, starts off with looking at the picture of a tree and how the roots go down there. So what are the roots that we have through the gospel that Paul has been preaching to the Ephesians? Those roots are, first, love. We've experienced the love of God in us. And that's there in Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19. Not just any love, in a world where it's fashionable to talk about love as something that comes and goes, but we are rooted in Christ's love, verse 19. A love that is perfect, a love that is enduring, a love that gets past barriers and failures and the things that often break other relationships. We are rooted in Christ's love that's in us. And also in those roots, we have the fullness of God in us. You can hear lots of sermons talking about a powerful God, an almighty God, everything that God is. And we struggle to grasp it all. And we just go away with our little bit. And we don't think our heads can get the whole thing in there. Well, these verses say the fullness of God is in us. Wow. Much as my body expands, I struggle to imagine it's all in there. But the fullness of God is in this weak person who cannot be in his own strength everything he wants to be and messes up. But as we have a relationship with God through the gospel, we know his love, we know the fullness of God in us. And then the third area that we get from this prayer is that God is able. And this is where I'm overlapping a little bit into verse 20, but it will do you no harm to hear the whole thing again anyway, another week. But it just followed on from the prayer that I wanted to at least give you a trailer of this little bit. We know God's love, we know the fullness of God in us, and that should change what happens next, because God is able. How able? More than you can imagine, he is able. Not only that, he's generous in action, and I take that from the word abundant, because sometimes you can have people of wealth who are stingy. Sometimes you have people who can help, but they're reluctant to step in. For we have a God who is able to do more than we imagine, and he is generous in action. And he is able, and maybe this is the biggest miracle, he's able to change us. I take that again from verse 20. He's an omnipotent, that means almighty, all-powerful God, and he is at work in us. So if you're feeling weak, don't worry about the prayer of fancy words. Just go to God in that point of weakness and recognize again afresh who he is. Recognize that he is in you. That's the gospel. He wants relationship with you through what Christ did. He is in you. We are rooted in him because of God's love in us, because of the height, the breadth, the depth of that love that will get us past all things. We can conquer the things that break other relationships. You're longing for that familiar person who encourages you? God is in you. We are rooted in him, and he shows his love to us in any situation that we are in. And the fullness of God is in us. He is powerful enough to act in any situation. He is powerful enough to change us. I went through a little aid to leading worship at another church where I just thought of it as three positions to our worship. And I said the first position is obedience. God calls us to him. The second one is to be transformed by God. For that to happen, we first have to see who God is. And as we see who God is, his character, the fullness of who he is, that changes us. And the third one is to be empowered by him. Because when we've met with God, it changes how we look at different situations around us. And I used the example of some Korean Christians who I had the pleasure of working with, and been to some of their prayer mountains, seeing the passion that they go into all kinds of things with. You get excited to work with them, and you're talking with them, and you walk into somebody's house, and it all suddenly got awkward. It seemed to go quiet, and the conversation was stinted. And I wondered what was going on the first couple of times I experienced this, until I realized that whenever they go into somebody's home, not a big show, but they just quietly take a moment to pray for that house and each person in it. Very often when we're visiting somebody, we might go in there with an agenda, or where we're with friends and we step into someone's house, we're in the midst of something, but they took a moment to stop and to pray, to try and reset for what God wanted to do to bless the people in that house. We need those kind of reset prayers. Not just where we're at, but see who God is. Recognize that he's in us, that we are rooted in him. Everything that he's done in the gospel is rooted in us, and that's what stops us from having to be blown around in the storms. And he, and you'll hear this again next week, has the power to change the situations that we face. Who's that prayer for? It's not the prayer for the successful Christian. It's not the prayer for, and I was thinking through some of the great examples we have in the Old Testament, but you think of Elijah, and you have somebody who, okay, he had his ups and downs, but you have a relatively successful Christian, and he comes to the point where he's being challenged by the altars of Baal about the offering on the altar. And when it's his turn to see that offering accepted off the altar, to be burnt up in fire, he actually, because he's challenged the prophets of Baal, that they would call down the fire of their gods to consume the offering on the altar. They prayed, they did a song and dance and everything they could, and nothing happened. Then he comes, and before he even starts the praying, he pours water all over the offering to to make it harder for this thing to suddenly ignite. Then he prays, and God acts, and the fire comes down, the offering is taken. That was the successful Elijah. We might think of him like the powerful Abraham Lincoln, like the super pastor who has all the words. But this prayer, I don't think, was written for that person. I heard a sermon on 2 Chronicles 20. And in 2 Chronicles 20, you've got the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, who's suddenly faced, been quite a successful king, he's suddenly faced by overwhelming armies coming from all the other countries. And he's not sure what to do. It seems like a moment of weakness, but he's been pretty successful. And he just prays. And as he prays, he gets guidance as to what to do. And God acts, and suddenly all those armies are defeated because they turn on themselves without the people of Judah having to do a single thing to save themselves. Those are the testimonies of the successful Christians that you might not feel you can always relate to. I think this prayer isn't written for people who come at it with, I can just face this, I can do it. This prayer is written for people feeling weak at any given time. And actually, I would argue that's the only kind of Christian that there should be. Because if we think of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When we think we can do it, we don't invite God into the situation. When we think we can do it, we don't realize how amazing it is that God wants to work with us to get us through that situation. When we think we can do it, we boast afterwards that we did it. And there's no glory to God in that testimony. Therefore, Paul continues in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So how has 2022 started for you? If you're facing challenges, you're facing opportunities. Find the strength in you. No, it's not a self-belief question. It's a God-dependent opportunity. That you will see God bring you through these situations. That by your knowing your weakness, that you will be dependent. Not on another Christian who will come in and whisk you the problems away from you and make it all easy. You'll be dependent on God to grow you in that situation, to show that it's not just through another Christian that he works, but it's in you that he's working to transform you and to help you to be a blessing to other people. 2022, opportunity for growing as a Christian will probably come with the challenges that you're going to face as a Christian. And when you do, let's pray this prayer for spiritual strength, of seeing who God is, what he's done for us, and how he wants to work in us. I'm going to show you another video to help us finish off, based on the Holy Spirit in us, but I think it speaks in a way that's helpful for how we invite God to be working in each one of us. So let's have that. Just to finish us off, the members of the leadership team for SVC, would you like to stand up, the ones that are here? Okay. And there are others who aren't here. John, would you just like to name those who aren't here?
Anthony is the one who isn't.
Okay, right. They might be the ones you see as the super successful Christians. But like I said to you, God is made perfect in our weakness. So I think if you ask them, John's already hinted at it today, you really get the testimony of God working when we're feeling weak and we know it's him doing it. So it's good for us to pray for them. But the reason I asked them to stand up was I also want you to be bold sometimes to go and hassle them and say, will you pray for me? And just give them a specific area and say, will you pray for me in this area that's my challenge or my struggle? And one of the things I thought about doing, you can sit down again. One of the things I thought about doing at the end was to say, right, we'll go into groups and you can all volunteer one area that you would like to be prayed for and get somebody to pray for you in that. I thought, how will we do that? Because I know some people will absolutely panic when I say that and not be so happy to have to be forced into that situation. So I'm going to leave it as an invitation. If you would like somebody to pray for you in any way, be specific on that one area and say, please pray for me in this area. And you can pray for them as well. And you might say, oh, I don't know how to pray for them. Well, remember the little skit we had, because it's not the fancy words that mean that God hears us. It's the person who wants to rely on him and seek his help at that time. So be bolder in seeking God through prayer for his strength in your weakness. Amen.